Detective Chuck Reed was called to the home of a prominent Bedford County couple, Derek and Nancy Haysom, in April of 1985.
The Sunday prior to that, I was at home watching the movie Helter Skelter. Then 3 days later, I walk into the Haysom house.
And what he found at the Haysoms made him think of the Bloody Manson murders depicted in Helter Skelter. Inside the front door, he found Mr. Haysom all but decapitated.
The whole floor was just smeared with blood. And then as you step into the kitchen, Miss Haysom was lying there on the floor.
Police called in a respected criminal profiler, Ed Sulzbach, who died recently in Northern Virginia. Again, former detective Chuck Reed.
He came up that it was a female, an acquaintance, and he said that he was looking at the daughter.
The daughter was Elizabeth Haysom, an honors student at the University of Virginia. On several occasions, she had told her German boyfriend, Jens Suhring, that she hated her parents and wished they were dead. Police brought Elizabeth and Jens in for interrogation.
The first time I laid eyes on Jens Suhring, when he walked in my office that Sunday afternoon, it about floored me. Here comes this little 18-year-old kid, maybe weighed 120 pounds soaking wet. I'm thinking to myself, I can't see it.
On the other hand, Reed suspected Elizabeth was in some way involved.
I always felt Elizabeth was there. And of course, I'm not the only one. Some family members feel the same way I do.
But when the two were finally arrested, Jens said he alone committed the crime. The son of a German diplomat, he thought he'd be sent back to his homeland for trial. And he says he hoped to spare Elizabeth, his first love, from execution. By now, Chuck Reed had taken another job. But when he read about Jens' confession, he thought something was wrong.
When he confessed to it, he did not have things quite right the way the crime scene was.
Prosecutors had argued that type O blood found at the scene came from Jens, but a recent review of DNA evidence shows the type O blood was not his. In fact, Reed says there is nothing from the crime scene to suggest Suhring was there, although there's reason to believe Elizabeth and an unknown man were.
You got her fingerprint on the vodka bottle. You got a hair sample that was in the bathroom sink, but nobody knows whose it is. You have an unknown fingerprint on a shot glass. We don't know whose that is. It's not Jens. You've got Merritt cigarette butts. That's what Elizabeth would smoke. It was Merritt. So you got more that puts her there than Jens Suhring.
A tire track expert testified at the trial that a bloody sock print matched Suhring's foot. But investigators in Bedford County concluded the print was likely left by a woman or a young boy. Elizabeth was eventually convicted as an accessory after the crime, and from a cell at the Fluvanna Correctional Center for Women, she denies knowing about the murders in advance or playing any part in the actual killings. Elizabeth had a history of mental illness and was known to lie. Jens used to tease her about fabrications, calling them POTs, perversions of the truth. Chuck Reed doubts her claim of innocence and believes she had help in killing her parents.
Now, a name came up of an individual who's deceased now that was really good friends with her and supposedly was one of her drug suppliers. I know she did a lot of drugs.
In fact, Elizabeth told police she had taken LSD on the night her parents were murdered. She claimed to have gone to Washington for the weekend with Jens, but says he left her there, took a rental car, and went to Bedford.
And then she said that, well, when he returned to Washington, he was wrapped in a sheet covered in blood.
Reed tested the car, the seats, the steering wheel, the carpet, and found not a trace of blood. He was never called to testify, but he's speaking up now, concerned that others involved with the case may be too proud or too political to do so.
You know, politics and reputations can't determine whether a man stays in jail the rest of his life. If they are not guilty, and it can be proven that they're not guilty, then somebody needs to do something.
That somebody could be the governor, who's been sitting on a request to pardon Suhring since late August. His parole board says it's so backed up that it can't get to Suhring's request until sometime next year.
I know the petition. We've received it in our office. So it's going through the normal procedure that we're looking at. New evidence is presented, and we're going to look at, they'll make their recommendation to me. But I'd be surprised it would take that long, and I'll look into that for you.
That was nearly 2 weeks ago, and we've heard nothing more from Terry McAuliffe, nor has the governor agreed to the German ambassador's request for a meeting. Chuck Reed, who has thought often about the case, fears Suhring may again be forgotten.
My concern is that it's going to run out to the point to where another governor is going to come in. Then there's another 3 or 4 years that this young man that's going to have to spend behind bars when it can be proven he's innocent.
A documentary about the case will be featured next month at the Virginia Film Festival, followed by a panel discussion with Reed and others who believe Suhring is not guilty. I'm Sandy Houseman.